What's up? It's your boy Vibes Bob Ray, because I'm always bringing you the good vibes, and you're tuned in to and 5678 the podcast, where we talk about everything dance industry related beyond the steps.
Tuned into and 5678 the podcast with Vibes by Bray, only on YouTube, broadcasted by Riverside.fm.
Now, on today's episode, I'm super excited to have dancer, choreographer, business owner, travel advisor, Key Jackson. Y'all give it up for Key. Woo!
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited. I've been waiting for this, so I'm excited.
Yes, I'm definitely excited to have you because we got some things to talk about, you know?
Yes, let's get into it.
Right. So first and foremost, can you introduce yourself to everyone?
Yes. Okay. Hi, everybody. I am Key Jackson. My real name is Keandra Jackson, so I'm really giving y'all the info because a lot of people don't even know my real name. So I'm giving y'all the tea. But I go by Key. Key's amazing. It's my Instagram name. Or just Coach Key. I do have a master's degree in coaching and education. So that is my passion. I've been dancing since I was a kid, but I feel like, you know, that's all of our stories. But I've truly been professionally dancing, like actually getting paid for it. Since I was 16 and I'm 30 now. So it's been a journey. I've segued through being dancing just on stage to going into commercial dance to just going behind the scenes and being in the creative process. So I've been able to, you know, experience different realms of dance, and that kind of led me to where I am today. Just from the connections and just from the experiences along the way, I truly found my passion in what it is, and that is coaching, developing, training. That's just my thing in the dance industry.
Okay, first of all, you just taught me something new about yourself. Had no idea that you had your master's in coaching. Y'all give it up.
Yes. I don't even know what made me go into that. I didn't know. It was college. And I went to Georgia Southern University, and I actually had an undergrad degree in exercise science. And honestly, the only reason why I did that is because, like, that was the closest thing to the body and the closest thing to dance. But I always knew I wanted to do something with dance. Why I didn't go to a dance school, I don't know. But that's just because I was like, oh, I can have a backup. But my backup is dance, honestly. And when I was coaching and choreographing for our dance team, it was like a hip-hop dance team. I was like, okay, I really like doing this. Like, more than creating, I actually like teaching people. And so when I went to Xavier University in Ohio and I studied it, I was like, oh, this is like a whole nother ballgame. Like, it's actually real life, an art to this, like the book wise, but then it's like, you got to get a feel for it. And just, I didn't even know they had any program like that, but they do. It's a whole real degree. And I just realized, like, okay, this is what I enjoy the most. I tell my mentees all the time, I'm like, listen, I don't care if it was soccer. I would be happy just to be coaching. Like, that's how much the passion is. So, yeah, that's how I got into that. It's crazy because I thought I was just going to be a choreographer. I didn't even think about being a coach.
And just listening to you talk about it, it's helping me see, like, there's a big difference, like, between coaching and teaching. Those are two total different things. And just to hear your passion behind that, and not only hear it, but because I witnessed you in work, I can 100% say that your actions back how you feel about coaching.
Yes, thank you for that too. And I tell people all the time, like even in my other businesses, like you said, being a travel advisor and coaching my business partners is just a difference. Teaching is more of that informational piece, like, okay, I'm gonna teach you how to do this. But coaching is like, okay, once they know the skill, how are you gonna develop these people? How are you gonna keep them motivated? How are you gonna navigate them through, you know, the different trials that they'll face, no matter what it is, whether it's dance, whether it's life, what are your skills? What is your training gonna do to be able to get them to navigate? Because right, they know how to do a coupe, they know how to do a turn, you know, a jump. But, okay, now what? That they have the skill. What are you going to show them so that they can be prosperous in whatever it is that they're doing? So when I found that, I was like, oh, yeah, it's another level.
And so what about coaching said to you, this is for me, this is the lane that I need to be in?
Oh my gosh, that's such a good question. I don't know if I thought about that. This is live, wrong, okay, obviously. I think it has to be the helping people go from where they are to where they want to be. I think that's the most enjoyable and rewarding thing. It's honestly a challenge for me because I'm like, okay, you're taking this person that you don't know and you see their skill level, you see what the industry holds. How are you realistically going to not tell them, hey, this probably isn't going to work for you? How do you get them to shift their mindset or up their skill level or, you know, whatever it is they need to do so that they still get their dream? And a lot of that is really getting into the why behind things. Like, a lot of people are like, a lot of my mentees are like, hey, I want to go be a tour on stage. And I'm like, do you really want to be on tour on stage? Or is it that you want to be in a platform where you're seen, where you're validated? And that's a whole nother thing, because you don't have to be on tour. You could be on Broadway. You exactly. could be in an Adidas commercial. And so I think just the aspect of being able to help people analyze and still reach their dreams is like the most rewarding thing with coaching, because a lot of times as dancers, we see one way and we think, okay, that's the way we got to do. We got to go take classes. We got to get into a mentorship program. And then we got to try to find an audition and book the gig. But it's just like your path and your journey could be so many different ways and still have the end result. Or your end result may not even really be what you want to do and what you're passionate about.
Exactly. And it's about going through those motions to see, because you'll never know. Because just like you said, we might think, oh, I want to dance behind the artist on stage. I thought that for some time. But then when I got into creating choreography of my own, my mind changed a little bit. Now I'm shifting a little bit because I'm doing more opportunities such as movies and commercials that I never had the chance to do. And so it's like, now that I'm experiencing that, it's like, okay, do I like the commercial realm or what is it? So it's just about getting out there and experiencing dance for what it is, because it's so many opportunities. But we see these award shows, we see these concerts and tours and stuff, and we think that that's all that there is. But it's much more to dance. We just got to put ourselves out there and just don't be afraid to explore the options.
Yes, I speak. Oh, you're preaching, because I preach this all the time. I'm like, I be asking my dancers, like, have you ever thought about being those dancers that are on, like, the Wii games or, like, you know, the PS3 games that are just behind the avatars? Like, have you thought about things like that? Like, have you thought about even the Disney movies when they have choreography, like being in the green room doing choreography like that or dancing like that? And they're just like, I didn't even think about that. And I'm like you said, take dance for what it is. Fall in love with that art, that skill, that journey, and just be open-minded and see kind of where it flows, where it takes you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I definitely agree with that.
So can you take us through your journey of dance? Like, how did you even start getting into dance from the beginning?
Yes, it's so funny. I love this because I've been thinking about my journey like, girl, what? So I started off being a dancer. Maybe I wouldn't even say a dancer. I took a ballet class and a gymnastic class, like when I was like 4. And from 5 to about, high school, honestly, I was a cheerleader. All cheerleader. I did like competition cheer. So, you know, that's a little dance, but essentially it's still all-star cheerleading. Mm-hmm. And then when I got to high school, I actually, I was a cheerleader at first, 9th grade. And then I was like, I want to do dancing. So I went to I don't know how I maneuvered in the middle of the year being on Monday's Meal dance team, but I tried it and I did it. And I was like, okay, I like how this feels a lot more. Transferred high school, freshman year, started Jonesboro. So I did basically the majorette team, the band, all throughout high school. But when I was 16, I started going to a studio with Miss Tia. It's a main attraction studio. I started going there and they had an audition. So my first audition was like at 16, and it was somebody from the Bronner Brothers Hair Show. They were looking for dancers. So they came and me and one girl were the only ones who made it. So this was very new for me because these were all adults. It was like hip hop style. I had never really done hip hop before. I did it. They liked me. They had a dance team. It was them and Atlanta Bomb Squad. Okay. So I was raised from there on with them. I did. They taught me hip hop and crank. So I was raised up on crank, learning how to geek, learning how to do that style, learning how to do hip hop, trying to be sexy. Never had been sexy, which is ironic that I teach a hip hop heels class for 8 years. But and they were just like, okay, we're a dance crew. We're gonna try out for America's Got Talent. Now I'm 17. Tried out for America's Got Talent. Made it through up until like the TV episode with the dance crew. That was a whole experience, like traveling, going through like the politics. That's when I realized dance is not about skills, it's about politics.
It's about politics, yes.
And baby, at 17, I was like, what? But it was exciting because I'm in high school practice from until 7 o'clock, and I'm driving to another practice on Moyler Avenue until 10 o'clock, and I'm in high school. So did that, fast forward, went to college, was away from the scene, did the dance team at college for 3.5 years and just choreographed with that. Came back, since my major was exercise science, I had a full 6 months of internship. Mm-hmm. Took my internship at DSA. This is a brand new studio. She found Trella, Dantrella Williams. She found me on Instagram my senior year. And y'all, your Instagram, it was relevant in 2015. It's still relevant.
It's real relevant now.
She said, hey, I like the way you dance. I got an opportunity for you to do the BET Awards. And I was like, so now I'm 21. So I'm like, okay, like I'm driving from Statesboro to Atlanta every single weekend. Still got a job in Statesboro. Still got classes. Don't care. Driving, going to rehearsal. She was like, okay, I have an internship you can do in January. I was like, oh, this is perfect. Started teaching a class. I said, Trella, I want to teach a jazz class. Y'all don't ask me why I want to teach jazz. And I have been choreographing hip hop. Want to teach a jazz class. Taught a jazz class. I took my very first heels class in 2016, after maybe like end of 2016. She said, you're going to be a heels teacher. I said, what? She said, yeah, you're going to be a heels teacher. I said, I never danced in heels before. It's my first
heels class. And didn't even know that was your calling.
Y'all, fast forward 8 years. I teach an advanced heels class. That's like my thing is heels. But I had never taught. But that's what I mean by being open. So in between that time, I had worked, got a chance to choreograph and work with BLB, got a chance to work with Wiz Khalifa, got a chance to choreograph for Escape. Did these different tours with these artists. They're like indie artists. One is Freebird. Fast forward this time, doing One Music Fest. Now this is full-time choreography, doing the Millennium Tour by just hitting people up and taking a chance. Then putting together dance competitions like Clash of the Creatives, just trying everything, honestly. By the time I got to DSA and I was full-time dancing, I would say 2016 to 2019, that's when I started realizing, okay, because of your shape, because it's still about politics, right? Because of your shape, because of your height, you just need to make your own lane. Do what you want to do. If you feel like it's not an opportunity for you, because I was going to all the auditions, the honey auditions, the step up, making it to the second round, being told no, all these different things. And I'm like, you got to make your own realm. Like, you have the talent, you have the call, you have the gift to be able to do certain things. Like, why don't you just do it? And honestly, God just sent people that trusted me to be under my direction, under my teaching, because I'm going to be honest, I was just figuring it out as I went. I was just figuring, I was like, okay, what do you want me to do?
That's all it takes, is figuring it out. And that's a whole different level of faith.
Yes. I'm telling you, when I was Clash of the Creatives, just transparently, I had like $200 in my bank account. I was like, how am I about to do this? And he was like, just do it. Just do it. And I'm going to make a way for it to happen.
Yeah. So speaking of Clash of the Creatives, can you let everybody know exactly what that is?
So Clash of the Creatives was a competition where dance creatives, I like to say choreographers, really, come together and they come up with we have a theme, but they come up with their own set, their own creativity. It's just a platform to where not that they're battling against each other, but it is a competition. And I felt like it should be for money. And so it was to reward the creatives and emphasize the creatives on everything that we do, because we're not just choreographers, right? We are putting together the costume. We are cutting the music ourselves, or getting the music cut, putting together the set, putting together the concept, working with the dancer's schedule, coordinating this, coordinating that. And right. So I really wanted to highlight the creative, because we always say choreographer and think, oh, they just that. But no, it's more than making up the steps. Like, we're putting together a whole production. And I actually did it in COVID. It was like right before COVID, and then COVID came. So I was going to have a second one, but that is coming back. So stay tuned, people. So I just wanted to be an annual thing just to highlight, because I was so tired of, and this is coming from like experience of us not getting the shine that we needed, honestly, mm-hmm. us not getting the highlight of, dang, they do a lot. Like, they don't just make up the steps. I feel like creatives get overlooked a lot. And I feel like we have a lot of platforms where we can showcase it for free, but we need to start getting compensated on what it is that we do. And that was my main thing for doing that, is I wanted somebody to really get rewarded and paid versus just having a platform. No, like, yes, we need platforms to, you know, be on, to practice with, but we need paying platforms too as creatives.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that. So when it comes to Clash of the Creators, I actually had the opportunity to be part of the first one.
Yes, he did, my baby.
And it was an amazing experience, honestly, just because, as you said, it gave us an outlet to, like, we were over so much having to work with different dancers, the concept, just be creative. We had a list of things that we had to follow for the rules, and it was just amazing just building from the ground up, and then to be in the atmosphere of other creatives and just to see their take on the concept was just so amazing, because nobody was the same. There was so many different things. The crowd was amazing. It just, everything about that was amazing. And that gave me another opportunity to meet other creatives, other dancers, because, as you know, I do concepts a lot, do live shows a lot. So that gave me a whole network of people through you, and they're like, oh yeah, I'm with DDA, and I'm like, okay, well, shoot, come look, we need to work.
Right.
So that was cool, just to be able to broaden my network of dancers, especially since I've been in Atlanta for 10 years, and the dance industry, or the dance community, I'll say, in Atlanta has changed. And you're from Atlanta, right?
No, I've been here for 19 years, but I'm not from here.
Okay, got it. So, well, you've been in Atlanta longer than I have. So in the last 10 years, I've seen changes. But in the last 19, I'm sure you've seen even more changes.
Yes, because how I grew up, it was like, go to Dance 411. Go to God. That's when God Dance was around. So there. Yeah, so it was just, the culture was different. The classes were different. The sensitivity was different. Like, it was just a lot of different things. It was more of a, it wasn't a handout. It was, you got to figure it out and you got to fail. And that's just what it is.
To be honest, I don't feel like people are as hungry anymore. And I think that social media has made this generation lazy. Don't get me wrong, it's good to have social media. A lot of people are getting booked from social media. But I feel like it's making people lack work ethic.
Yeah.
And it just bothers me, only because I left where I was originally from. I'm from Richmond, Virginia. That's why I relocated to Atlanta. And when I got there, I saw how much I needed to work, because everything was like so easy in Richmond. It was like, I knew that I was good, but I didn't realize that I was not great until I got to Atlanta. Because I was like, okay, there's a whole different dance world out here. And it made me push for more. I was in classes, I was networking, and I felt like there was a lot more unity in the dance community. Yes. And I feel like there's a lack thereof now. And it's probably not just Atlanta, don't get me wrong. It's probably a little bit of everywhere, but this generation of dancers is just, not the same.
It's definitely more here, because that's what I mean by, I've done so much I can't, but I even had teaching tours that I created on my own and went to different states and took it the tour, I call it a dream tour, but took it live and took it to other places, and people are just hungry. And that's what I tell my mentees all the time, is people are coming to Atlanta from other places and they're taking your jobs because they're not taking what they have here for granted like you are. It's just like the luxury of being to say, I go to class, and I feel like it's a false reality with Instagram, with social media, because you can get books from social media, but that's why people aren't, you have the same people staying on jobs, right? Because you get to the job and you don't know etiquette. You don't know how to stand alone. You don't know how to take initiative. You don't know how to last 6 to 8 hour rehearsal. You're lazy. They see that. So it's like, okay, you're getting booked, but like, then what? That's just the beginning. So I definitely think that it's been, one, I think social media has been taken advantage of, but two, I think it's creating a false reality of what it is. It's taken away from the hard work. It's a lot of people comparing their process, so it's causing the community to be depressed. That's why I think it's kind of like suppressing the morale a little bit, is everybody feeling, oh, well, they're doing this, or they're with this person, and they're doing, like, you know, comparing journeys too much. Like, thinking they see the process, and you don't know what that person is doing behind Instagram. Like, me personally, I'm a business owner. I put the good stuff on Instagram because it's my resume. I put the accomplished things on Instagram because it's my resume, but it's the process that y'all know, like, that is really going on behind the scenes.
Right.
So I definitely agree with you. Like, community is, we struggling right now.
And see, I always tell people, Instagram is not reality. Like, because it's really work to get what you want. And just because you might see somebody posting all the time or posting what they're doing, you don't know what struggles they're going through. You don't know what they had to do to get there, the blood, the sweat, the tears. Like, it's not just peaches and cream at the end. You got to go through the mud to really get that, for real.
Yes. And just to speak on that, like, even with the Millennium Tour, like, okay, it looks great that I'm booked on it, but people don't know that we were driving on the road, and I'm creating choreography on the road, and my dancers are learning it in the car, and we're stopping at gas stations to rehearse because we don't have a proper space, or we're not being able to get into the building till 30 minutes before we got to go on set. Like, they don't know all those things. And if you're not prepared for those things, you're going to get cut. You're not going to make it to the show, and you're not going to remain on the job. Like, it's so many more sacrifices that you make, like being away from home, like not getting any sleep, practicing till 3, 4, 5 in the morning, and still got to work your day job, or people getting fired from their day job because they're taking chances on these one-off gigs, like it's, and then having to learn how to navigate as a full-time entrepreneur, which is extremely difficult that people don't talk about. So yeah, just Instagram's not a real place. Just like
it's not, but
Instagram definitely not.
It's really not. But I'm glad that you shared that, because as I always state, one of my reasons for doing this is because dance is more than just dance. Dance is knowledge. Dance is a network. Dance is just so much. And I wanted this platform for people to be able to have this information, to be accessible to this kind of information. So I'm glad that you shared that, because there might be someone who literally just don't know that there's a struggle in being an artist. And how are you going to handle it if you come into a situation where you are struggling, you don't have a full-time job, or you lost your full-time job? I've made the sacrifice before where I was like, you know what? I don't know what's next, God, but I'm about to quit this job, and it is what it is, and I'm gonna just figure it out. I didn't have a plan. Is that gonna work for everybody? No, it's not. I'm not telling you to quit your job.
Right.
That was my journey, and it ended up working. Eventually, I did work again, but it worked for me in that moment. I was just like, you know, I don't know where you're taking me, God, and I don't know why you're taking me this route, but I trust you.
Yeah. And like you said, it's that faith piece, and it's that faith in, so it was two parts. You had faith in God on where he's going to take you, but you had enough faith and trust in yourself that you was going to take the next step. And I think a lot of time we rely solely on God to do the work for us, but he's like, I'm right here, but I need you to like get right here. Like, yeah, I need you to take that step. Yeah. So I can take over, but you're not even like, I'm in the being waiting to carry you, but you can't even make it to the being.
Exactly.
So I think a lot of people forget, they don't have enough faith in themselves just for the discipline to do the necessary steps. So I'm glad that you said that, because it is going to take, it might not take a sacrifice of quitting your job, but it does take some sacrifice. And that's with anything that you want. It does take some level of sacrifice, whether it's not watching that TV or it's not going out with my friends on Wednesdays. Like, it's going to be something.
Yeah. So I want to go back a little, because when I actually first met you, I met you through DSA.
Yes.
And when I met you there, you were teaching as well. Can you tell me about your journey with DSA and how you feel like that shaped the creator that you are today?
Oh, yes. So DSA was one of the most memorable and positive, just hardworking experiences of my life. Because one, I never had worked for a studio. And two, being around a community of dancers where everybody's hot, it's like you have to step your game up. But then Trella was my boss. She was an amazing mentor. Like, she really pushed us, right? So we had to, a requirement, because she grew up in Dance 411 and got a dance. She okay. interns for them. So she required us to train for this many hours a week, this many hours a month at minimum. So we had to push and take each other's classes. Even if it was Vogue or if it was some ballet that's out of our comfort zone, we had to do it, because she realized that in order for you to be the best dancer, you got to be a versatile dancer. You got to be able to know how to do at least a little bit of everything. You don't have to master it, but you got to know how to at least do it. And she used to give us like challenges where it would be like, use a prop or use this type of song or dance a different genre, do a fusion with your class. So just little challenges like that, and the feedback that we got, because it was raw and uncut feedback. Like, hey, I used to get all the time, you're short, but you can't dance short. You got to dance long. And I'm like, I'm like 4'11". Like, how am I supposed to dance without 6 feet? But it was like, it was needed, because it's like on videos, you look different. We had the video training. Like, she turned us into beasts. I'm not even going to lie. Like, it was a push. She was the first person I experienced an 8-hour rehearsal. And I thought I was going to die. And she used to always tell us, if you're not about to die, you're not dancing. And now I'm just like, even now with me not being a full-time dancer, I still like, no, it's mind over matter. Like, I've already been able to mentally train to where I can handle those situations, handle like, not cutting on the AC and dancing like in the hot, because you don't know in the heat, because you don't know what type of condition you're going to be on when you're on stage and it's right. 102 degrees outside. Are you going to pass out? So she did a really good job of conditioning us and training us, getting in the field with us. Like, she would be right there, hands on. And then I also was the manager for DSA. So I got that side of it, the business of creating the paperwork, hiring people, knowing what it's like with employees, because I was with DSA when she first got the building, when it was just concrete, and we used to bring in mirrors from our house to practice in there, all the way up until what it is now. So about to be 10 years old, actually. So it's like, yeah, I mean, that just helped me on both sides, because now I'm about to open up my own dance studio, and I already know like what it takes, what to do, what not to do, going through like, because it ain't going to be a studio where I'm hiring just instructors to teach. I ain't going to lie. There's no money in that. Right. So it's like you have to, it's just navigating the ways of, like you said, being one, a business owner in it, but then also like choreography and knowing, coaching, pushing your dancers. Like, I just had a really good example in that. It was a time, like I said, my coworkers, bomb. They all doing big stuff now. Like, so it was an amazing experience, honestly. I don't know if I got the luxury or whatever, but people that I hear that work in studios, it ain't like that. So I'm thankful.
So from the outside looking in, one thing that I can say about DSA, and for those who don't know what DSA is, it is a dance studio, Dance Stars of Atlanta. One thing that I can say about DSA, especially when I started coming around and meeting everybody who was teaching in that era of it, all genuine people. All humble people, like the nicest people I could ever meet. And even today, like I've known you, how long has it been? It's been a while.
It's been a long time, yes. It's been over 5 years.
Yes, for sure. And y'all are still the same. Everybody is still the exact same. And you can tell that there is a culture behind Trella and DSA that her energy just pours into everybody. And it's just such a beautiful thing. And I haven't experienced that kind of environment in a studio since Gotta Dance.
Yeah. And that's what we talked about. She always has said from day one, she said, I want to be a safe space for dancers. I want people to be able to come in here and feel like they at home, feel like they family. That's why when people walk through the door, be like, welcome to DSA. Like, yeah. Always good energy is a requirement, like making it a safe haven. And I do feel like we were the underdogs, but we didn't care about the numbers. Like, if it was a class of 2, if it was a class of 20, everybody was going to get individual feedback. Everybody was going to, you know, feel the vibes or feel like they can grow. And I feel like that's why our retainment was so high, is because people were sad when it was like, okay, y'all, no more adult classes. People were sad. It was like, what? But, I mean, yeah. Like you said, a culture. That's exactly right. What it was.
Z, if you're watching this, I just want to let you know, girl, you did a great job with DSA.
She did. She did.
Period. Okay, so there is something that I want to talk about. So you recently just accomplished something very big. You've shared your journey, been very transparent with it on social media, and I've definitely been keeping up. I'm like, oh, I'm rooting for my girl. And you finally have accomplished it. You just recently, well, I don't want to say it. I want you to go ahead and tell everybody.
So I just got my kidney transplant. Woo! After being on dialysis for 3.5 years, and then my lupus is completely not active after it being active, and I mean, like, really active since, I wouldn't say for the past 7 years. So for the past 7 years, my health has just really been like, I ain't even gonna say it was like this. It was like this, honestly. All over. Yeah. And now it's like, it's over. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, this is, I'm still like, it's still surreal. I'm not even gonna lie. Because if it wasn't one thing, it was another thing. So to say that, hey, no, you don't, I mean, I have lupus because it's an autoimmune disease. It's not curable. But to say that it's not active at all, which it's always been active in some type of way, to have the kidney, for me not to have to deal with those issues anymore, like, it's just, I mean, to be healing the way I am, like, I'm in the above average healing range right now. I'm supposed to still be in bed somewhere, but I'm up active driving. I'm moving. Got rehearsal tonight, like, yes. So it's just, oh my gosh, it's been a long road. I'm just thankful. I'm just
congratulations.
Grateful. Thank you.
I don't know why they did that. But yes, congratulations. And can you tell us, how did that increase your fight to be in the industry?
Ooh, baby. It was hard. So when I got diagnosed, I was 23. So I was like fresh into my teaching journey. And immediately when I got diagnosed, I was in the hospital because I had just had a miscarriage, and that's what made it be onset. And I was already like feeling like joint pains and stuff. So it'd be some days I couldn't move, but that really triggered it. And they were like, oh, you also got congestive heart failure. You also got this, you also got that. So I was in the hospital for a long time, swelling up, and then I stopped being in the hospital. I was okay for a few months, but I'm still teaching this whole time. So it got to the point to where I had to have an assistant, which was Levels of Brittany, so Brittany Sullivan, and which was BJ, hey, that's BJ, which is Brittany Jones. And those two were my assistants. BJ would come to the hospital. I would teach her my routine so that I wouldn't have to cancel class. And she would go teach it for me. Yes, I'm in the hospital teaching routine. So that's why I'm like, y'all, if there's no excuses. If you want to do it, you got to figure it out. But so just DSA, Trilla was very supportive. She was like, he can do this. I went through a period of time where I had to get blood transfusions for like 4 months straight every single week just so I could like stay alive. So that was a tough time in 2019. But that was like my prime time of dance. So I couldn't stop. Like, I remember being in the hospital one time. I had a concept video the next day. The doctors didn't release me. I checked myself out, went to the video and shot it. It's the actual sex talk video when I was in there. Like, and I just made a feature. Checked myself out, did it, swollen from down, but you couldn't tell. I just did my makeup real good. It was waist up. Couldn't even fit in the heel, but did the video shoot and then went back to the hospital, like, and checked myself back in. Like,
No cap. It's really no excuse. Like, for real. No. If anybody is making any excuse, this is your sign to get up and do what the hell you gotta do. For real.
Yes. And I'm not saying, like, put yourself at risk, but it was to the point to where I knew my body and I knew this is, if I'm in my prime, if I got goals to achieve, if I know what I got to do to build my business, that's just what I got to do. Mm-hmm. And it helped me, especially when I started DDA in 2020, I was like, okay, you need to start training people to do what you do. So that in any event, you need to create a system, basically. And my dad told me that, like, create a system so that when you leave or if you have to be down and out, somebody could do what you do and you can still be making money. And I'm like, okay, you're absolutely right. So that's when I started training some of my dancers up to be able to choreograph, to be assistant, to be able to jump in, or I just show the choreography and they can jump in and teach it or run the practices. But it was hard. Like, even when I went on the Millennium Tour, my legs were swelling. I had to go to dialysis, so I had to, like, tap in, tap out. I couldn't really do, like, I had the opportunity to be on tour with Lizzo, but I couldn't do it because I had dialysis throughout the week, and that they don't care, honestly. So it was just, like, some opportunities I couldn't do, but then that made me realize, like, okay, what's for you is for you, and you need to create, you need to follow the path that God is on. You need to create your own path. That's just how my story is went. It's not the typical, but I'm very successful and very satisfied with where I am now because it was just a better path. And now I'm still young. DDA is at an all-time high. Like, I'm booking girls left and right, so I'm excited about that. And I've built the right foundation to now where I am able to leave and go on tour, or I have to, or whatever I can, and it's not too late, you know.
Yes, now it's something that I do want to touch on, having someone on your side that can do what you do. Now, as leaders and as creators, that is a struggle for us.
Oh, babe.
It's such a struggle because we want things done. How we do it, like, is somebody going to do it exactly like how I'm going to do it? Like, it's always something in the back of our mind. But in retrospect, if you are a great leader, if you are a great teacher, everything that you've instilled in those people is just going to trickle down. So they're going to know certain things. And it might not be exactly how we would do it, but there's always that room for growth, room to be able to learn. And it also takes the weight off our shoulders. And you also have to have trust in your people. If you don't have any trust, then you're going to be worried every 5-10 minutes about, yes, what you got going on. But you have your network of dancers through DDA. Even when you were at DSA, you had your network. And so that level of trust obviously was there. But it's just about, we have to, like, get out of our own way. Because we, yes, can't do everything alone, no matter how hard we try and how much we want to. We literally just can't do everything by ourselves.
No, you can't. And it's just like, and I had to realize that with, like, with a company, like, you know what I'm saying? McDonald's couldn't do everything themselves. Like, so just with a company, you have to have some type of trust, but you also have to have a bomb teaching foundation and system to where, honestly, anybody can do it. Now, I do still have my moments where I'm like, but it's still the key effect now. You still got the key effect, but it's still like, you have to trust that. And that's why I build relationships. Like, some people have things that I don't. And that's why I even bring in guest instructors, like, for my training program, and just knowledge that I don't. And I'm okay with that. It's like, I can instill within what I instill. But at the end of the day, like, you gotta want these people that I build relationships with, you have to trust that their skill is good enough for what it is that you want to accomplish. And I stopped getting so stuck on the process, like, oh, what if they don't do it like this? And what if they don't do it like that? But if the outcome is the same and the dancers or the client is happy or the dancer's journey is changed, I started focusing on the outcome. If the outcome is the same, we can get there however we get there. And I think that kind of let me, like, you know, let the leash up a little bit to be like, okay, you can do this. But even when it came to choreography, like, I know some bomb choreographers that are signed up under the agency that I'm like, you know what? This is perfect for you because I don't want to do everything no more, honestly. I want to go live my life. I just got free. So I'm like,
yeah, I know that's right.
I'm like, y'all gotta top me down. Listen, I'm like, I lost my 20s. I got my 30s, baby. Come on. So but honestly, building that relationship with them, knowing that they have the same principles and goals and morals as me, mm-hmm, I'm cool with that. Like, and seeing them, and it takes me a long time to build a relationship. Like, I be close with them. Like, let's go on dates. Let's get to know each other. Like, let me see you in action. Or it's a lot of people I've been watching that I reach out to and be like, okay, like, let's see if this is a good working relationship. So, but that's the thing, not so busy worried about what the process is, and just as long as the outcome is the same, then it's the same. Now, business owners, choreographers, creatives, it does come with some hiccups, but the good thing about that is you can always clean it up.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, before we get into our segment of the day, I do want to take the time to shout out my sponsor. So on each and every episode, I'm rocking some threads from Kata Co. Streetwear for dancers. It is comfortable streetwear for dancers. Today, I am rocking my 5678 sweatshirt. You can find this and more on their website at kata.shop, and you can follow her on Instagram at kata_co. Also, use my discount code at Braven to get 10% off your order of $25 or more.
Yeah, because I was looking at your sweatshirt like, I'm on one.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I'm gonna tap you in. I'm gonna tap you in for sure.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, she doesn't just have sweatshirts. She has sweatsuits, the whole set, t-shirts, hats, all kinds of apparel. So make sure y'all check it out. Alrighty, Keith. So now this is the moment that we've all been waiting for. It's time for our segment. This is where the spotlights turn off and the curtains close. Let's get to the point.
What? Yes, I like that.
Thank you. All right. So your topic today, which is perfect for you, is going to be the business of dance. Because as we know, and as I stated earlier, dance is more than just the steps and movement. There's a lot that comes behind it. And this is perfect for you because you are a business owner. So I want to start with asking you, can you explain to everybody what DDA is?
Yeah, so DDA stands for Dream Development Agency. And it's just an agency to bridge the gap, right? So people are either beginner dancers or professional dancers. They're either by themselves or they're signed, but there's nobody really teaching, bridging the gap, saying, hey, let me develop you to get to a better or comfortable enough space to go out to those auditions, to get signed, to book gigs, to be professional. So it's to really train, develop, and coach aspiring dancers to be mentally strong, physically strong, emotionally smart and intelligent so that they can go out and pursue their dreams.
Yes, I love that. So what would you say has been the biggest challenge with starting your own agency?
Oh, Lord, so many. the biggest challenge is being, what's the best way to put it? I would say not being unique, but competition, market competition. So being, they're like, okay, well, what's the difference between you and Excel Talent Agency? Or what's the difference between you and I'm going to dance with I Inspire? Or what's, you know, so the different, or MCA, like, what's the difference? And so that's a little challenge because I'm like, we still have a development side of our agency, but then we have an agency where we just book girls. So that's been the struggle from the outside is just appearing to that and really getting, reaching my target market, because my target market is between the aspiring and the professional dancer. It's a little bit of both. It's not necessarily the beginner. So really getting my right target market and marketing to them, because right now it's just dancers, right? So that has kind of been the biggest struggle, to just navigate between the two and reach the audience that I need to reach. And then on the business side of things, I just did it by myself. I didn't have a mentor. So setting up my LLC, getting my legitimate business bank account, getting all my contracts, my paperwork so that I can be legit. Now the biggest challenge is finding a building, dealing with that. That's a whole coding and all that stuff. That's so different. I'm like, whoa.
It really is. So, it's so much behind it.
So much. It's not just I'm paying my rent. Like, no, it's so much. So just that side of it. But other than that, I already have, like I said, a background in business. So the tax write-offs and dealing with the financial standpoint, that hasn't necessarily been a struggle, but it's definitely the marketing. And it's definitely, like I said, when I started the logistics, I was just all over the place, like down to my website, like, okay, what paperwork do I need to have? Like making sure I have a liability, making sure I have an NDA, making sure now I have a choreography protection agreement, because it's just, but it was trial and error. So I'm glad that now, you know, I know those things. Because, yeah.
Okay, so I want to talk about the development portion of the agency. What ways do you nurture the talent in your agency?
Yes, great question. So I used to do like where they can just have like a monthly fee and they would come to me monthly for a couple of hours. Now I do 6 to 8 week mentorship programs. So they come to me for a straight 6 weeks or a straight 8 weeks. And through that, they get introduced to networking opportunities. It's a small, intimate group. I don't do any more than 15 at a time because I think that one-on-one time is extremely important in order for them to grow in such a small time period. But I introduce them to different choreographers and teachers that they're able to network with. They actually sometimes get booked just through rehearsal or learning. Then we go through business one-on-one. So I teach them how to start a business. Like I said, the LLC portion that if you want to even do this portion, like what realm in your brand, if you want to start your brand, starting different companies, sister companies, things like that, your tax write-off. I go over their resumes, making sure they have the proper resume, the proper headshot, making their reel. We have sessions where we make our reels together. We work on their looks because, again, politics, it's about your look. And then we train. So I train them with just teaching, but then we do scenario training. So I'll say, okay, if you had a gig tomorrow and you had to do this and you had this amount of space, or if this happened where the music went off, or if this happened to where you have a square and you got to do a leap, a turn, a split, or if you're outside on the rocks, like how would you maneuver that? How would you change that? So just different real life scenarios that I've been through on gigs, I kind of throw at them. And then we have evaluations where they get critiqued, they get recorded. I have different judges who don't know them come in and judge them and critique them so they can grow and not just hear from me. So we do all of that in like 6 weeks.
Yes, that's a lot, but it definitely seems very intentional. And it seems like something that has been missing because you have so many different training programs and so many different mentorships, but are you just paying money or are you gaining something from it?
Yeah. And that's been a little bit of a struggle because I've been getting the girls who have been through so many mentorship programs. And then when they get there, they're like, you know, it's like a dump. They're like dumping. So I'm like trying to be there for them emotionally because they're damaged, honestly. Mm-hmm. But then it takes a few weeks for me to crack through that. So it kind of stops their growth. But, you know, they end up becoming returning and changing. But I do think that we should, as a community, kind of rename our programs. Like if it's not a mentorship program and it's just straight dance training, then
don't call it that. You need to.
It could just be dance training. Nothing's wrong with that. Nothing's wrong with that.
Because for me, like, because I know about mentorship and not just in dancing, but in general, like I've been a part of mentorship programs through church, Big Brother, Big Sister programs. My take on the word mentorship is a lot different. So if I'm taking your class because I hear the word mentorship, but you're just throwing a bunch of steps at me, is that a mentorship? Are you teaching me something? Am I walking out of here with knowing something more than a step or a hot pocket?
And that's another thing, like with my girls, like they have access to me after it's over and they know they can text me, or it's been many a times where they're like, hey Key, I'm about to go do this gig, like do you have any advice, or what should they FaceTime me, what should I wear, what do you think? Like, and I feel like that's important because people just don't have people to do that. And that's also why I take a small number, because I know what I like, I know my capacity. Like I can't do 40 girls at a time because
I bet you.
I really can't do 20, but I'm like, okay, I'm getting help, so I'm gonna try to stretch it a little bit, but I'm like available like that. You know what I'm saying? Like it's all hours of the night. They don't care. Everybody think they the only one. But I like that they feel like that. I like that they feel that they have access to me. Yeah. So yeah, it's definitely not, it's more than you just finna be learning a step. You can go take class for that. That's why we tell them all the time. Go take.
Yeah, you're spending all this money to learn steps. You can learn steps in class for less money. It's going to add up.
Or on YouTube. Yeah,
YouTube. For real. So what trends have you noticed in the dance industry, and how is your agency adapting to those trends?
So it's so funny you ask. I just did a survey on what could be better, like what people want from the development program, and it's like this content thing. Like everybody's like content, and I get it. So in that, now the development program is trying to adapt to that, because I came from an era that was like, when you're training, you don't need to record it. Like, we didn't have class videos every week and stuff like that. When I was training, when I had a class, I used to hate having to record every week. And so like Trello would be like, okay, y'all record when you feel like you at that point, because it's like, it's not about the video. But I'm adapting. And so now I have Content Corner, where like maybe two sessions that last hour, I'm going to set up like the backdrop for them, the lights, just so they can record, you know, what they've been working on, what they've, not on the spot, but what they've actually been working on for weeks, so they can get some good, valid content. Because I do understand it's important to show that you're doing something, that you're active. If you want to be booked, you got to be an active dancer with, you know, good content on your Instagram for resume. So that's one of the things I'm adapting to. And then, this new age. I don't know. I'm trying, Brave. People don't want to work out. I'm just like, y'all don't want to condition, but I'm trying to meet in the middle. I feel like the grandma in the industry sometimes, but I'm trying to meet in the middle where it's like, okay, I'll give you a little bit of workout, but let me make it fun. But you got to work out. You got to train. So I'm adapting, like kind of doing, making it more fun so it doesn't feel like work. Because I've noticed that the new generation doesn't like work, but you got to do the work.
You definitely have to. And that was one of the things that I noticed has been a shift in the industry, is the work ethic. It's just not there. Like, and it's like, sometimes I just want to shake people. You gotta do the work. No, for real. And I just don't know what it is. And even like, I've been in programs where I feel like my headspace is different, because I know I'm not where I want to be as a dancer, but I definitely feel like I've put in the work and been through a lot of things. And so when I'm going into these programs with that same mindset of, oh, I'm working, I get so annoyed when I look around and I'm hearing the complaining, or why do we have to do this? Oh, we have to work out. Oh, we have to. What if Beyonce was in front of you right now and she was like, we need to run 20 laps or something like that? Because if that's what you truly aspire to be, it's going to be a lot harder than mentorships and classes and training programs. It's going to be a lot harder than that, because those are working professionals. And it's, yes, Beyonce.
Exactly. And I think that will probably be my struggle internally, mm-hmm, is that I sometimes feel like, okay, I'm taking advantage of, because you'll show up if it's so-and-so, but because it's mine and because you have access to me, you're treating it like it's optional. It's not optional, but I put a pin in that, because now I'm hand-selecting who, right, I'm going to train, because I'm just like, you know what? I'm not a good fit for everybody. Everybody's not a good fit for me, but I want to work with, I don't care if it's five. I'm a big stickler. I don't care about numbers. I just want quality, and I want people who are hungry, and I want people who are excuse removers versus excuse makers, because that's just how I am. Or I want people that are at least willing to take a chance on them and say, okay, well, how do I remove my excuses? So I'm glad that you said that, because, oh, that's my biggest thing. This person, you're going to be on time, but me, you want to come in 5 minutes late? Oh, no.
And it just kind of sucks, because why is that the mindset anyway? Because I could be where I want to be tomorrow. And guess what? Because I took notes and I paid attention to how you treat my rehearsals, my classes, whatever it is that I'm over as an aspiring creator, I'm taking notation of that, because don't think that I'm going to call on you when I'm choreographing for Lady Gaga.
And that's why a lot of people's bubbles got bursted when I did One Music Fest, because they thought, oh, because I know kids go, oh, no.
No, you know me, but I know your work ethic, and it's not given, unfortunately for you.
Exactly.
And that's what I was. These bridges.
I was just about to say that dancers, when you're on jobs and you're in rehearsals, you don't know who knows who. There is so many people that I have recommended to people just because I thought that they were a good dancer, mm-hmm, and they're like, "Oh no, I've worked with them before." I don't, like, when I tell you choreographers talk, we may not look like we're join together in on the social media, but oh, behind the scenes, we're talking through DMs, we're talking through text messages. Like, I just sent some girls out with Tony Minsky on the gig yesterday, and he like texted me feedback, like, here, do this, 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 like, or I have connection with them, so they're like coming to me, like, hey, do you have any girls that can do so and so? And I'm like, well, this person, they like, because if they ain't got this, they ain't got. So you got to be mindful of who you're talking to, what you're doing when you're on certain things, because it's a small community in Atlanta for sure. And I tell my dancers all the time, how you do one thing is how you do everything. If you show up late to here, you're not going to make it to the Beyonce gig because you're used to showing up late. You don't have a spirit of excellence. No. So keep that in mind.
Now, this segues perfectly into my next question. So how do you build and maintain good relationships with artists, clients, your dancers, and other choreographers?
Being your authentic self and sticking to your policies. Because a lot of professionals respect professionals. A lot of times, artists will seem like, oh, yeah, like, thank you for giving me a discount. But realistically, they're just like, oh, I'm just going to use her. It's one time. Like, I don't, are you coming in late? Are you coming in? You smoking in rehearsal because you're like, oh, this just, she a cool artist. Like, no, when you remain your professionalism, people will respect you. Like, even when I initially was working with Trillville and I actually got booked with Bobby V while I was working with Trillville, it's because they saw how we were carrying ourselves behind stage, how we would be on time, how we were dressed. I didn't know people was paying attention to that. How we were dressed despite what songs we were dancing to. That made them be like, okay, we like y'all. Can y'all come be with us? Like, so all of that, just my advice would be you. Don't try to be nobody else, but be professional. It goes so, people tell me all the time, Key, I want to work with you just because I like the way you do things. Or people be messaging me like, hey, I've been watching how you do things, or I heard about this person about how professional you are. I want to work with you. And I'd be like, girl, how you even know me? But
because
they watch
don't
that.
Talk whether you're doing bad or good.
Exactly.
And that's not just the industry, that's in life.
Mm-hmm. My mama always says, good news goes up, bad news goes down. Like, so they'll tell people that they look up to if you're doing good. They, you know, it'll go up. You'll go up. They'll tell their mentors. They'll tell people they look up to, but bad news goes down. Like, they're going to be like, girl, don't work with her. They'll tell they dancers, don't work with her. Don't go to her class. Don't go to her mentorship program. All of that.
Right. So what is your long-term goal for your agency?
Yes, so glad you asked. So the agency, like I said, we're about to get a building. So we're going to expand. So my first focus was dancers for the agency, but then we're going to expand to models. We're going to expand to actors. I already have like my head for the actors. We're going to expand to artists, and then we're going to just expand for business consulting, where we just like, still, it'll be a development agency, but for businesses. So we have different aspects we're going to introduce, especially when we have our building. We'll have different offices and different spaces for each to be successful. But that's the main goal, is for it to be a full-fledged agency, all things entertainment and business. So I'm excited about that, because coming soon.
That's so dope.
We just got our first brand deal, so make sure y'all check out our commercials. We got 2 commercials coming soon, so... yeah, I'm excited.
Yes, we love growth and development, so kudos to you.
Yes, thank you.
No problem. Now, how do you envision the future of dance overall, and how do you see your agency playing a role in that?
I'm trying to be professional, baby. Oh, you know me. You know me. Mrs. Rowan, okay. Ooh, how I see the dance industry, it's going to be very distinctive. There's going to be 2 parts. There's going to be professional working dancers, and there's going to be social media TikTok dancers.
Mm.
And you're either going to fit into one or you're going to fit into the other. And both are going to make money, but you're going to fit into one or you're going to fit into the other.
Do you think there's going to be an in-between? Or
no.
You think it's...
I feel like the in-between is going to be, it's going to eventually go to the bottom. I do. And I feel like you're going to, and that's why I say it's very important that you decide or you explore now when we have the option and the availability, and it's like just open, I feel like you should explore what realm you want to go to, because professional dancers are going to be anything, like I said, from Broadway to commercials to movies to artists, anything professional. And then it's going to be the TikTok where it's straight digital marketing, straight social media. But I feel like it's not going to be an in-between. And unfortunately, those people just going to be, they're going to be down here until they go into one of the two. That's how I feel like it's going to be. And then with DDA, we're actually going to, we're going to be on the professional side for sure.
As you should be. And I see that for you. I love that for you. Absolutely.
Because how they get trained, they either, I will say this, dancers that come to my program, they either realize that they don't want to be a professional dancer, or they realize what avenue they want to go into. And I'm actually okay with both. Because it's better, you know, now, instead of paying all this money and then you've been wasted 7 years of training, you're like, I don't even really want to do this.
Exactly. No, that's real. Now, do you have any words of wisdom or advice for two sets of it? So, one, for someone who may be looking to start their own agency, and two, someone who's looking to join an agency.
Oh, yes. So, if you're looking to join an agency, my piece of advice would be to get yourself together professionally. And what that means is invest in the right classes, be skilled. Don't just take your favorite heels class or your favorite hip hop class. Take the foundation classes, which is ballet, jazz, contemporary, tap. Take those classes, be versatile, and have your headshot and your resume. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that's about. But giving me a 2x2 headshot on an 8.5x11 resume is not, no, that's not the proper way.
And, you know, sometimes I'm so flabbergasted by certain things in the industry, because it's like, do you really 100% not know that? And don't get me wrong, there are some people that may not know. So I'm glad that, you know, I can have people on to put out this kind of information, but it's just some things that just blows my mind.
And honestly, in today's age, I'm not even gonna lie, it's no excuse, because we have Google now. And if you type in dance resume on Google, this is for the viewers, you type in dance resume on Google, it will show you exactly how it's supposed to look. It will show you professional. It'll show you headshot. It'll show you resume. It'll, even if you look up, what should my professional headshot include? It will show you now. You don't even got to guess no more. Like,
it's so, but you know, even like, cause I'm back in Richmond for a little, but even when I'm getting gigs here, or I'm going to classes, or going to like different callbacks, and they're asking people to bring resumes, I'm seeing people bring like pages stapled together, or paper, and not like the cardboard stock. Like, and it's like, there are times where I'd be like, hey, for future references, you know, just trying to drop that knowledge, because I've gotten training in New York, I've gotten training in Atlanta, LA, you know, I still got a lot more training to do, but being that I'm back home, there's certain things that I've been wanting to drop on people so that they understand, but people are also not receptive.
Nope, I was going to say that. And I was going to say, it takes more of people like me and you to just drop the gems. But honestly, I had to realize, if they're not receptive, then that's on them. I had, like, somebody come to my audition, and I was like, hey, like, these are, this is your feedback. And they were, like, so, like, mad at me. And I'm like, I was just, like, shocked. One, because it never happened before. But two, I'm like, because I asked the audition, I was like, do y'all want my feedback? Everyone's like, yes, please. Because, you know, when you go to a real audition, they don't...
They're not going to give you that feedback.
They're not even going to tell you no. They're just going to tell you yes, and that's it, honestly. Yeah, so I was... Okay. When I did that, they were like, oh, like, I can't believe this. Like, I was just like, oh, okay. That was not, I was not expecting that. But at the end of the day, I was like, it is what it is. Because whether you're upset right now or not, you're going to... It's a seed that's planted. And that's just how I have to take it with the industry. Because I'm just going to be that person. I'm going to continue to say, hey, not like this. I've even had people come from other mentorship. Now, here's the problem. I've had people come from other mentorship programs, and their resume is awful. And they went through a resume class. And I'm like, how is it not in the right format? But again, I just try to do my part at this point, because, yeah, that's crazy.
See, so that I appreciate the training programs that teach you what should be on your resume, the format, the type of paper, what kind of classes you should be taking. Like, I'm really big when it comes to my training. I'm really big on being intentional. Mm-hmm. Like, if I want to work on technique, I have my teachers whose classes that I'm going to take. And it's not because, it's not strictly because I like the personal, I like this step. It's what am I aiming towards? Like, I know if I want to work on my lines, I'm going to Brandon Jones because mm-hmm. he's going to teach me how to extend, you know? So, and it's a plus that I do like the choreography. However, what are you trying to gain out of it? It's plenty of choreographers in Atlanta, but what are you learning from the classes? Are you going yeah. there to catch a step, or are you walking out of there with a piece of knowledge that you did not know before? Whether yeah. it's something about yourself as a dancer, whether it's how to use your body a little differently, or maybe you picked up a new skill set that you didn't even know that you could do because you went out on a limb to try a new class. And so I just want to encourage people to just be smart and intentional about your training. And even to go back when you're saying you get feedback in your auditions, when you can get that from someone at an audition, you need to take that and hold on to it, because that's not something that happens at often. I don't want to say at all, but it's not something that happens often.
It's very little.
Yes. So it's like, because you can go to an audition, that you'll do the step and it, thank you, have a good day, and you'll never hear anything.
And you'll never know why. And it could have just been because you had on a pink shirt. That's the thing. they don't even understand what, because now that I'm in an agency position, I'm seeing the behind the scenes, because I work a lot with Anthony, a part of the Hart Twins. Mm. And I see a lot on the back end, like what they're saying. And they're like, it's her look. It's because she came in with a red shirt and I didn't like how I looked on her. Like, it's down to that, like with their agents and the auditions that I've been in, like just with them and some of the artists, I'm like, whoa, this is way more above us than we think.
it's a dog eat dog world. It's very cutthroat. But that goes back to you saying you have to know who you are through and through.
Yes.
Like mentally, yes. You need to know your look. You need to know your skill level. You need to know what else you should be working on. Like, don't be the dancer that's acting every class or every program you get in. What is it that I need to work on? And that's cool to get that feedback, but you have to be smart enough of a dancer to know for yourself as well.
Yes, and that's what I was going to say is my advice. If you want to join something, you gotta stand 10 toes down in what your brand is. Figure out what your brand is first before you present that to an agency, because essentially all the agency is looking at your brand, seeing if that's a good fit for what they need for
and
their brand.
It.
Yeah, every agency isn't for you either. You got to find the right one that fits your brand, but don't expect somebody to get the suggestions, but they can't mold who you are, because you know how you feel on the inside. And a lot of what my training is, we do like exercises like that. Like, we write down mantras and things like that to figure out, who am I? What is my brand? What do I want when I go into audition, or when I step into a class? What am I trying to give off? What's my signature thing? And so I think that's very important. And then just to go back to your question of if you want to start an agency, it's about being professional and having your paperwork in line, honestly. And do the work, y'all. You can't teach somebody what you don't know, honestly, truthfully. You got to go through some things and have some experience. And that's what my teachers out there, too. I know people love to teach because they want to get some choreography off their brains, but you're a choreographer teaching dancers. You may not be a teacher, and that's okay to know the difference. You could be a choreographer and say, hey, I got some choreography. I'm like just charging because it's your time. I'm just charging to get that off. And that's what we're going to do. You know, that's just what it is. Not because what are you teaching? Like what technique, what skill are you teaching? It can't just be the dance. You got to teach something outside of that. Mm-hmm. So you could be a choreographer. You could be a teacher. You could be a coach, but know the difference if you want to start your own agency.
Absolutely. And I appreciate a teacher who is still a student.
Yes.
I appreciate that so much, because you're still taking the time to invest in yourself while investing in others. That says a lot about you and a lot about what you have to offer.
Yes. And I think that's what make the dancers around me be like, okay, because they see, even though I don't want to be a professional dancer, I'm still in class. I'm in a training program right now. So it's like, still doing those things. I'm an intern for somebody, because I'm still taking the knowledge so I can come back and bring it to them. So I think, yeah, like you said, be both, be a teacher and a student.
Absolutely. Well, Key, I do want to thank you for taking the time to sit with me today. Can you tell everybody where they can find you on social media platforms?
Yes. Find me at Keys Amazing. That's K-E-I-S Amazing. Or follow, and let me say both, and right, follow the agency page. It's Dream D Agency. Dream D Agency on Instagram. From there, you'll be able to get our YouTube. You'll be able to see our website from either page, but definitely follow the agency page, because we're about to do a giveaway for a scholarship for our development program. So make sure you follow us.
That's coming up soon?
Yes, coming up soon.
All righty. Well, that concludes this episode of N5678, the podcast. It's your boy, Vibes by Bray. Make sure you follow me on all social media platforms at Vibes by Bray, and stay updated at all of our latest episodes at N5678 Podcast. This is your daily reminder to always dance like nobody's watching and love like it's never gonna hurt. Again, yay, shout out to Kata Co Streetwear for Dancers, Felicity Digital Lab, and Rager Worldwide LLC. Until next time, y'all.
Bye.